In the chaos and distractions of everyday life, it's easy to feel disconnected, distant from God, from the people we love, and even from our own hearts. Yet deep within, we know there's something more, something greater. We are called to be reconciled. Welcome to Be Reconciled with Father Paul Bakke, a space for honest conversations about faith, relationships, and finding our way back to true connection. As Saint Isaac the Syrian reminds us, be reconciled with yourself, and heaven and earth will be reconciled with you. When we make peace within, we open the door for healing in every part of our lives. And we hold on to this truth from 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So wherever you are in your journey, we invite you to tune in, reflect, challenge yourself, and take one step closer to the connection you were made for. It all begins with a simple step: to be reconciled.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Hello, everyone. Another exciting episode, and we are very, very delighted to have a great guest, very rare to have him. This is Father Paul Bakke from Be Reconciled Ministry, or the podcast Relationship Lab, Be Reconciled. We are having a young, vibrant deacon from Netherlands, a consecrated deacon with us. His name is Deacon Peter. He is dedicated for the youth ministry in Netherlands and in Europe. We're very happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you, Abuna. I'm blessed to be here. It's an honor, really. I'm having a good time, and we had a good time in St. Monica Church at yours, and I'm looking forward to the conversation.
No, this is good. And today we'll try to talk about, as you know, that the be reconciled with yourself, then heaven and earth will be reconciled with you. This is the goal of the or the overarching message in the podcast. Be reconciled with yourself. I was thinking of when we are not reconciled with ourselves, there is a sense of feeling of emptiness, a lack of purpose, lack of direction, confusion. So all of those are red flags. Indeed. And when it comes to when I'm reconciled with myself, it is not like this. Mm. So this is when I know, I feel fevered, or I'm sick, or I need help. I need to see the doctor from a spiritual perspective. So my question to you, Deacon Peter, things that we all feel is the feeling of emptiness and lack of purpose or meaning in life. So from your perspective, what do you think is the root of this feeling of emptiness? And is it really a sign that there is something wrong going on?
That's a great question. And I believe that, or we believe actually as Christians, but I think it's also universal truth, not just for us as Christians or something we believe, is that God made us in his image. And that image is only complete if he is in it. And he creates us out of love and free will, the free will to choose to reconcile with him, to have a relationship with him, or don't. And if we don't, then we'll be empty, because he's the only one who can fill up that space. It's nothing wrong with us. I think it's belief we are searching at the wrong places to fill that emptiness, whilst only God can fill it. So no, it's not the thing wrong with us. It's in our nature, and we should seek our Creator and how he created us, and try to confirm and reconcile with that image. So I think that is our task in life.
Okay, so the feeling of emptiness is a normal feeling. But if I feel all my life is empty and I'm lacking purpose, do you think that this is a good sign? I don't want to judge us as human beings, but I think this is very common, that even San Augustine and even in the book of Ecclesiastes, it said, I have tried everything. Nothing my eyes have longed for or wished. I didn't fulfill it. And I have done everything. And in the end, as if you are hitting the wall, as if you are fighting, or it's the vanity of the world is what comes in the mind of Solomon in the Old Testament, also in the mind of Saint Augustine after all what he have done in his life. So this feeling of emptiness is like an inviting, is like maybe it is like a yellow.
Yes,
yellow light in the engine, when you say, you know what, there is, check something.
I think it's exactly that. It is because, as you have said, that we are trying to go into a certain direction, but we feel like it doesn't work. I don't reach my destination. I don't become fulfilled. So then having this feeling of emptiness, it should warn us. It should give us a warning signal. All right, something is not going good. If I try a certain method, strategy, lifestyle, and it doesn't fill me, it means indeed I'm looking at the wrong places. I'm using the wrong things, and I'm living, again, not as a judgment, like you said, the wrong way, but it's not the way which leads me to the thing I'm searching. And so it's indeed, if we feel the feeling of emptiness, we should be thinking with ourselves, well, am I heading at the right direction? And if I don't feel myself being filled, then I should maybe change something.
Okay, so do you think the Lent is a great time for being fulfilled and being or fill this emptiness in our life?
I think it's essential. It's essential. I think our beautiful church gave us this period to remember us the way to fulfillment, because we may often deviate from the path. And then the church gives us a fasting season, a holy season, a prayer season to be reconciled, if we can say so. With God, thinking, all right, am I going at the right direction? Because in this life, everything goes fast. We want everything and we want it more. So we go about our days and choices through our impulses. Oh, I feel this, I want this, so I should get that. But beautiful thing about Lent is, and fasting is, then we stop. No, we don't go with the flow. We don't go with what I feel, what I think at the moment. I stop. I stop, think, all right, is this the right choice? Should I eat this or not? Should I make this decision or not? Should I say these words or not? And I think it is putting us in the right position, and it facilitates us to reflect on our journey, on our behavior, and of our goal, if it is still the right goal, which is going to help us reach fulfillment, which we are all seeking.
Any difference between a Christian perspective and a secular perspective of dealing with emptiness?
I think not, to be honest. I think not, because we are all made body, soul, and spirit. If you want to believe it or not, if you believe in the Holy Spirit, if you believe in God or not, we all have a spirit. And here's the interesting thing. You can say, as an atheist or a secular, but actually also as a Christian with your behavior, you can say there is no God and there is no such thing as spirit, but then you deny yourself. So, no, I don't believe there is a distinction. Again, it's not guaranteed to be a Christian is then to be fulfilled and holy and everything. Of course, you still need to make the effort and to choose to reconcile and to love God. But I think we should be very aware about this topic. Because, again, emptiness, I believe, comes from the spirit, an empty spirit. And just living according to the body or according to the soul, it's not enough. It will not fill us. It will not fill us. We need to seek something higher, something deeper. And thus, so I believe it's for everyone. It is there is no difference. If you again deny your spirit, you deny yourself, I believe.
And also the scripture said it is not just you are not going to be fulfilled. In Galatians 6, I recall the one who sows for the flesh, out of the flesh will reap corruption. And the one who sows to the spirit, out of the flesh, out of the spirit will reap eternal life. So when we keep in the journey of the Lent, it's just those small stuff that we keep doing. Maybe it is this quick prayer in the morning. Maybe if you are praying more, pray more. Maybe I will attend an extra liturgy during the weekdays. Maybe I will push myself on those days to fast a little bit more. Maybe so sowing for the flesh, out of the flesh will reap corruption. And when we sow for the spirit, out of the spirit will reap eternal life. So I hope that this Lent will be, at least for me personally, that sometimes it's weird that we as clergy who are involved in the church, who are all the time in the church. But sometimes even I used to enjoy more the liturgies that I'm attending, and I'm not looking after the air condition of the church, and the deacons came and did not come, and the Urban is prepared or is not prepared. Yeah. So even within the church, sometimes I feel distracted with a lot of things, focusing the goal on being filled and being spiritually filled during the Lent. So another thing is sin as a separation. How does sin contribute to the emptiness that people are living?
It's a fair point, because it relates to, I think, the first question that was asked, and that is, am I heading at the right direction? I'm feeling empty. I'm trying to fill myself, to be reconciled, to be happy, to be fulfilled, to be in peace. And actually what sin means, I believe, or that is what it means, it's missing the mark. So with sin, or when God tells us something is sin, it's missing the mark to fill the emptiness. So we don't believe that something is necessarily bad because it's bad. It's because it's not the right direction, or it's not the right way to reach fulfillment, to reach God. It is sin because you miss the mark. You miss what's bringing you fulfillment. And so sin is an essential part. It is our indicator of how we are going about it. If God tells us, hey, this is sin, so this is putting you away from fulfillment. This is putting you away from what you are seeking. Because the mark which we try to aim, I think it's God. I think it is to fulfill our purpose. And with sin, is we deviate from that. So I think it's beautiful that the God and the church gave us and those guidelines. I see sin and not sin as guidelines to wait to navigate towards eternal life, like you mentioned. So it's definitely a part of it.
So you mentioned something is nice that I liked. When we feel this emptiness, we lose peace, and also we lose this this feeling that I'm satisfied, or I'm not worried, I'm not stressed out, I'm not confused, and the peace that even secular people, even people from in non-religious people who are worshiping different gods in Asia, people are. They are always speaking about peace and searching for peace and searching for inner peace from within. Mm-hmm. But some youth might say, you know what, but when I party, I have peace. I enjoy it. When I do this, I smoke. When I go and do this stuff that the world is offering.
Yes.
This is how, don't tell me what to do, and I'm having fun and I'm enjoying my life, and I have the best college experience, the best life experience I can.
Mm.
What would be your response to them? Especially you are in Netherlands, and I know that Netherlands is a hub. They have legalized drugs.
Yes.
Many years ago, maybe 25 years ago, something like this. So you have, what is your experience in this?
We have the same experience, like how you just described what a experience of a youth can be in Netherlands. That's what we actually indeed have. Only the thing is that I'm not believing it, to be honest. I'm not believing someone who's saying, I'm having peace in this life. Because do you have peace always? Also, when you come at home from the party, do you also there feel peace, or do you feel void? Or when you wake up, do you still feeling happy and in peace after everything you have did? I don't buy it. That peace we get from that lifestyle, the problem is two things. It's not sustainable. So it may be indeed for a short time, but not for eternity or for a long time. And it's also not very in depth. So the peace you feel and the fulfillment is just a little. And what I want to say to those people who are thinking like that, no judgment and saying, oh, you should stop it because it's bad. I'm saying I have something else. I have a different suggestion, different lifestyle, which you will feel even more peace, which is sustainable and takes longer, and also it's more sophisticated, more in depth. So I think that lifestyle, that fleshly lifestyle, bodily lifestyle, it's just an effort to fill the spirit. It's just an effort to search for the thing actually the spirit longs for. And that's why I believe that those strategies, those lifestyles, those choices are not helpful or not on the long term and do even more harm on the long term. But again, I would suggest a different lifestyle, or I propose a different lifestyle, the Christian lifestyle, the biblical lifestyle, that if you taste from this, like you taste from maybe drugs and alcohol, that you have even more joy, more peace than you can imagine. If you think you have peace now, let me show you what real peace looks like. And peace that nobody can take away from you. Peace that's not depending on if you have a drink or not, if you have friends or not, but really eternal peace wherever you are, with whoever you are and always. I think that's the beauty of the presence of God and the relationship with God in our lives. It is a never stopping and everlasting joy.
And sometimes I think the concept of happiness versus peace is mixed.
Yeah.
We're in the mind of the youth and mind of even adults. So I recall someone told me this and I never forget it. Happiness, it has two P, H-A-P-P. Happiness, it needs something to happen for you to be happy.
Yes.
So I pass an exam, I have a raise in my job, I get a new car, a new home, a new house, but this happiness does not last.
Yes.
But the peace, as you, Deacon Peter, mentioned, that the Lord said, and you will see me, and you will have peace. And no one will be able to take away your peace from you. So the Lord gave the roadmap of a peaceful life. If he's the king of peace, anytime he comes, he brings peace. Anytime we are on the right path, there is peace in life. So I'm always thinking of this Bible verse, and you will see me. So if I don't see him, then you will see me and you will have peace, and no one will take away your peace from you. So when I lose my sight, or I don't keep my sight on Christ, then my peace is gone. And anyone can take away my peace from me. Someone will cut me off on the freeway. Someone, I recall a righteous man was driving, a very nice Christian man was driving his car. And by mistake, he offended someone or triggered someone in the street. So the guy came beside him and he lowered down the window and he looked to him in the eye and he's just starting a road rage. So the Christian guy, he looked to him, he smiled. And there was a necklace or like a hanging cross on the mirror. And he pointed to the cross and he looked to the guy on the other car and he smiled and he said, I'm not going to get engaged with you. Because of the cross that is in front of me, I'm keeping an eye on this cross all the time. So I'm not going to get engaged in this. So I think this concept of happiness and peace is a key. We don't wait for something to happen because doing or drinking, smoking, we are waiting for something to happen or I will get a kick out of it. And after a while, this is just fun that is not going to last.
Exactly.
But it is the peace that will last in our life. As you said, the peace that no one will be able to take away from us. And the Lord linked it to seeing him all the time. So what do you think of prayer as a solution for this feeling of emptiness?
It is, I believe, the solution and the only a solution actually to this problem, because the emptiness and the void with you, it's a spiritual void, and the devil's trying to convince us that emptiness and the feeling only goes away with more eating, more drinking, more consuming, more partying, more vacations. So it's always directed to something of the flesh, of something material, of something just egoistic for your own sake. And we see that doesn't work. We keep feeling void, even though we earn more, even though we have more relationships, even though we have more food, it's still not fulfilled. So that is because the void we feel is actually spiritual. So we need to search for spiritual solutions to spiritual problems. Because again, the void, the emptiness is spiritual. So what are those spiritual solutions? It's indeed prayer. Prayer, fasting, almsgiving, repentance, going to church. Let's start with prayer. Prayer is a spiritual act. We may think, all right, how does it help if I just stand in my room and say some words? Well, you are standing in front of God. Like you said, you are seeing Christ. You're meeting God there. It's a spiritual act. I also say, like, prayer and fasting is nutrition to the spirit. It fills up. The void. I think you're right when saying that the podcast title is to be reconciled, because getting back to prayer, we reconcile with God. We are standing with God. We're having a relationship with him. But if we don't see him, then we don't have a relationship with him. And then our life is just material, fleshly, carnal. So prayer is an essential part of filling the void. And like you also mentioned, Father, it's maybe starting with that little bit of extra prayer and consistent prayer. So very much so, indeed.
This reminds me of a guy had a problem. He doesn't want to go to church, doesn't want to memorize hymns, no Bible, no reading, no Father of Confession. He gave his mom so much hard time. And his mom was just clueless. You know what? I don't know what to tell you. And then she tried everything with him. He's saying no, 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 no. So she told him, you know what? I will tell you only one thing to do. She's so desperate. She said, I will tell you only one thing to do. Just lift up your heart before doing anything and tell God, be with me. Just look to heaven, say, God, be with me.
Mm.
I told her, that's it. No church, no, this is it. She told him, at least do this. Can you do it? I told her, Mom, I promise you I will do it. She told him, before you send an email, be with me. Before you turn on your car keys, be with me. Before you send this project in school, before going to work, before... He told her, I promise you and I will do it. But now you don't ask me to do anything else. She told him, no, don't do anything else. Fast forward a couple of years, but he was very faithful in this promise to his mom. Fast forward a couple of years, he got connected with a group of bad friends in college. And he received a text message in midnight from a girl is telling him, I'm home alone. Are you interested in watching a movie by midnight? So, and he found himself saying yes.
Mm.
He got dressed and he is going to his car. And he remembered the promise that he gave to his mom. And he looked to heaven and he didn't pray. And he said, you know what, maybe you can stop me somewhere. But expected something will happen on freeway. Nothing is happening. A police officer will stop him. Nothing stopped him. He went all the way to the place of the girl. And she told him, because of the security in the area, I left a copy of the key of my apartment in this spot in the fence. So he put his hand and he find to get the key to have access to the place. He find something tingling. Hmm. He didn't know what is this, but he put his hand again and he found that something bit him. And he started feeling dizzy. Then heartbeat is increasing. Then he's starting feeling sweaty. Then he felt that something really wrong is going to happen. He called 911. They came and he slept or he lost conscious. After 4 days in the ICU, he's opening his eyes. And the doctor is telling him, young man, you are very lucky. You got saved from the most deadly scorpion in the land. Because there was in the fence, there was a scorpion that bit him. So he smiled and he told him, you are speaking about the scorpion that was inside of the home or outside of the home. And it was this small prayer. God, be with me. Just protect me from myself. Help me because I cannot conquer. I cannot overcome. In the connection with God in a prayer, I think this is one of the parts of the essence of our life, to connect with God all the time. And that's why I always think of, we try to be more social, gather more people around us. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to... Please come and hang out with me, or I will go and hang out with you. But you see, the monastic life is completely opposite.
Yes.
They say, no, we don't want to hang out with anyone. We want to go to the monastery. And after they go to the monastery, they stay even in more seclusion. And their hope is to go to a cave like Pope Carolus, and we're in the month of March, the feast of all these great saints around us. They were seeking, and Pope Shenouda, he was seeking to be alone, not to be lonely. Mm. He was seeking to see God and have this spiritual connection with him because of the fulfillment and the joy and the satisfaction that we can get. So I think it's a great point, Deacon Peter, about it, about the power of prayer. I have also something that came to mind. Can the church and the community in the church and the fellowship and the body of Christ, as you said in one of your podcasts, that the church is not just... I liked so much the the background is in Spain.
Yeah.
This famous, the Sagrada Familia.
Church, yes.
And you said this is the building of the church, and is the church is just the building. No, it is the body of Christ. So
yes. How
can the body of Christ help the youth to not to feel this void or this emptiness?
That is very interesting, because I was thinking, and we sometimes hear in scientific environments and psychology maybe, that we need community, we need an environment, like you said, people to be with, to feel presence, to feel alive, to feel connected. Well, I think actually the actual reason is why we need to be contented and not just connected is because, again, we are made in the image of God, and God is Jesus Christ. So you are all made in the image of Jesus Christ, and that's the church, is the body of Christ. And not being in the church, not having communion, not taking part of the body of Christ, we are disconnected from the body. So that's why we feel void. It's not because I just need a community. No, I need to be in the body of Christ. And again, you have to look at whole humanity as a body of Christ, the church. And being outside of the church, literally and figuratively, then you are missing something. You're not connected. And that is actually what the church is. It's not just for a certain group of people. It is for everyone. And we need to be in the body of Christ. Otherwise, we will not be complete, or the body will not be complete. We need each other. We need each other. I need you, you need me. And together we become one. We become reconciled. So I think actually that the body of Christ, the church, is our energy. It's our energy. If we are away from it, we feel drained, if we're empty. If there's been a long time we haven't had communion, it's a long time we haven't been praying, if there's a long time we haven't been serving, we haven't been repenting, all the sacraments actually and the church lifestyle, is because we are not living up to the image, how we are created, and therefore we feel void. And the problem is we then seek it in other communities, other. And another interesting thing is that the community of the church is an everlasting community. I think as maybe you can tell us something about it, but having a community in school is nice, but it's just for a couple of years or for a couple of hours in a day. But actually in church, it is our whole life. And you are always saved by a certain community and not just some community. Wherever you are in your life, no matter your age, no matter your profession, you always have that place of home. I think that's the beauty of our church, to have that continuous community, continuous moving, dynamic body of Christ, where we can be reconciled with God, with others, and with our self, I believe, yeah, right?
I like when you said the community of the church is an everlasting community, which is very true. Even the aspect of the relationship with the saints. Yes. And we never pray to the saints. Yeah. We are not praying to the saints. Nope. We ask the saints for their intercession.
Yes.
Praise God in all his saints, as the psalm is saying. So we have a huge connection that can help us and can work miracles in our life. There was a priest. Actually, no, he was a lead servant in one of the churches. And he said, "When we need a better pope. This pope is doing nothing, just saying, pray, pray, pray. What is praying? What's praying?" This is, and he did this on the pulpit.
And so, he was talking about Pope Carolus,
yeah,
I believe.
He was talking about Pope Carolus. And one of the people close to Sayyidina, the Pope Carolus, they reached out to him and they told him, "There is this servant in that church is just bad-mouthing you and is just making fun of you." And the Pope told him, the person who is telling him, told him, "Bring this servant, I want to meet him." So he came and he told him, "You are making fun of the stuff that we prayer and the relationship with the saints." He said, no, Pope, I didn't mean it. But he was doing it publicly. So he told him, "I need your help today to sit outside nearby my office, and I will send all the requests to you. You just document whatever I'm sending, just to know if we're doing something, anything fruitful, or I'm doing any help to anyone, or are just wasting time praying." So a lady came to the Pope telling him, I have a major problem with my husband. He left me 11 years ago, and I don't know what to do. And it is hard. And she started complaining. And he said, he took a piece of paper, and he said, to be transferred to Mary Gerges, St. George. And please return back with the confirmation. So he gave her the paper. She went outside of the office of Pope Kyrillos, and she gave it to, and he told her, go and give it to the man who's sitting. He's keeping record. So the lady went, and she gave him the paper. He told her, what is this? She told him the whole story. This was in the morning. Another guy came, and he told him, Your Holiness, my son is stuck in the military, and we have a major problem, and we cannot reach him, and we need help. We need your prayer. So the Pope took another paper, and he said, to be transferred and assigned to Archangel Michael, please return back with a confirmation. This is what he said. And he told the guy, go and give the paper to the servant who's outside. So the servant outside is getting this and say, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So he's keeping record of what happened. This was maybe 9 in the morning, around 2 p.m. The lady that has a problem with her husband is coming with her husband. She never saw him in the last 11 years. And he is in pain, and it seems that he's not okay, but he's just barely walking. And she said, while I just exited the cathedral, I was walking and I saw a major car accident in the street. So I was looking and I found that my husband is in the car accident. So I looked and I reached out to him and I picked him up and I took him to the urgent care very quickly, and he's now fine. And he looked to me and he said, I can't believe that you are here and how this happened. And they reconciled and they returned back to each other after 4 hours. And this was the responsibility of St. George. And the guy who had his son stuck in the military, he returned back also with a lot of joy. And he said, thank you, Your Holiness. We received back a response from the military, and they are releasing him very soon. And thank you. And this was Archangel Michael. So the man who's outside, and he's seeing the power of prayer and the power of the connection with the saints. Mm-hmm. It's not that we are praying to the saints, but we are connecting with the saints. We have their intercession, their prayer, their supplication on our behalf. And after a few days of miracles after miracles after miracles, he went and he did a metanoia, or kneeled down in front of the Pope, and he told him, please forgive me. I have bad-mouthed you. I have spoken that the church is not being run as I hope it was. I thought that prayer is not going to make any difference. I thought that the connection with the saints is not going to do any help. And I had this all this stuff in my mind, and I, please forgive me. The Pope prayed for him. After a while, he became a monk. After a while, he became a bishop afterwards, and he served with the Pope. It's this everlasting community, as Deacon Peter mentioned. It is true. So the power of the life of the saints and our their intercession, their prayers, their supplication. You have a great help that we are not tapping in, or we are not counting on, or we are not utilizing.
I believe very much so, and it's actually a beautiful story, and the saints are a great example, and not just an example of how to return to God and show repentance and live a holy life, but to have a relationship with them. So I can only say, and it shows me how close of a relationship and confidence the Pope had with the saints, that he's so secure and confident that they will work.
And he's asking for the return yeah. back and confirm that you did something. And that's actually why they returned back. The lady returned back with her husband, and the guy returned back about his to report back the work of God. And the life of the saints is always inspiring, is always it's part of the beauty of the Orthodox Church and our Coptic Church, and how we understand the concept of intercession, the right path. We're not praying to the saints. We're not worshiping the saints. We're worshiping only God and only God, Jesus Christ, no one else. But we are leaning on St. Mary tons of times. We are leaning on the saints tons of times. We are asking their intercession, and many, many, many stories. But returning back to the concept of emptiness, will the stories and the life of the saints help us to feel this void of emptiness, or to fill the void of in our life?
I think we should be thinking, like you mentioned, Father, that looking at the monks, while we are very much searching for community and physical and presence of certain people and relationships, and we still feel a little emptiness, how can it be that those saints, those monks, living completely separate, like Saint Paul lived in the desert for, I believe, 70 years without seeing someone, Saint Anthony 20 years without seeing someone, voluntarily. Why should somebody do that voluntarily? It should tell us, I believe, that there is something there, that they feel so complete that they don't want and to seek other things. Then we can say, well, yeah, so it's easy for them because they don't have anything. They had everything, and they gave it up voluntarily because they felt so much joy in the presence of God that all the material stuff wouldn't give it to them. Not that the material is bad, but it tells us that there's something deeper. There must be something there which is working, which I don't have, and maybe should start seeking. And again, the saints, like the story of Pope Crollo, should tell us, well, maybe let me try to pray and ask the intercession of a saint, and to get to know a saint, and to be maybe friends with saints. I believe that Pope Crollo was friends with Saint Mina. Even though they are living hundreds of years apart of each other. But like you said, we are one body with Christ, with heaven and earth. The people are not dead. They are alive. They're even more alive than us. So we can talk to them. We can have a relationship with them and be united with them in the body of Christ. So I think the saints play a big part. Again, talking about community, we can't reach God on our own. I think God gave us examples, gave us saints to look up to learn from their story, to build a relationship with them. And that that fill will the void. That will, I believe, brings us closer to unity, reconcile, maybe also with saints. Can we say that?
Yeah,
can we say to be reconciled with saints?
Yeah, but we need to be reconciled first with ourselves. And this is reconcile with yourself. Heaven and earth will reconcile with you. Heaven is the heavenly saints and the saints who reached to their final destination before us, and they are interceding on our behalf. I recall the Saint Moses the Strong. He was looking to the sun and he's saying, "If you are God, show me yourself. Show me yourself. Show me yourself. Show me yourself." Is this zeal in the heart of the saints to seek God? Even if you don't know where you are, even if you are confused, just show me yourself. Seek, and you will find. The zeal, I think it's always inspiring for me, because all what St. Moses did was just asking a question, looking to the sun, if you are God, then show me yourself. And he heard after a long time, if you want to know me, go to the wilderness of Sikit or Bari Chihit, or go to the wilderness where the monks will teach you who I am. And this was the turning point in his life, and this is how he went to the wilderness, and this is how he started his monastic life. But this, even if you feel empty, lift up your heart and your eyes to heaven and say, God, show me yourself. I'm clueless. Show me yourself. Even if you are from a different religion, even if you don't believe, even if you are and stuck in life, even if you are clueless, even if you feel lost, even if you feel you have no purpose, no direction, the only thing that you can do that will really help you, just, and this is being inspired by the stories of the saints, just look to heaven, lift up your heart to heaven, literally, and tell whoever you are, show me yourself, and he will show you yourself.
I think it's a very easy and guideline, this advice to implement. It costs nothing to do, and I believe it's very powerful. I also like to say, like, God is there for us. So I think to add to that prayer is that, God, you promise peace, you promise love, you promise presence. Show me, experience this presence you say you have. You say you are. You say you are love. Well, I'm feeling void. I'm feeling emptiness. Show me that love. Help me feel that love. I think it's, again, like you said, no matter who you are, very easy. It doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost money. It doesn't cost to go to a certain place or whatever. Just, I think we should be standing in our room or while driving and to lift our hearts. And I think especially if we feel like not everything is stuck, nothing works, then maybe we should try something else. Maybe we should look somewhere else instead of continuously looking down on what I'm going to do and what happens tomorrow and today and what do I feel, what do I want. Lift up the heart and look to, do you know what, God, what do you want? How do you see it fit? Like our Lord himself said it, we may be in this life and think about prayer that, oh God, give me this or give me that. But Jesus Christ actually learned us how to pray, which is, God, let your will be done, not mine, but yours. I think if we try to change our mindset, to change our way of going about life and the direction we are heading, I think with the simple prayer your father suggested, I think it'd be a very good first step into direction to fill the void and to build eventually the relationship with God. And they are directly linked to each other. The void is there because there's no relationship with God, and the relationship with God fills that void.
In the story of Susanna, in the Deuterocanonical books, one of my favorite stories, it says something very unique. And in the same story, in the same chapter, so Daniel chapter 13, in the Deuterocanonical book, you will find it. It says something about the two, just very briefly, a righteous woman, beautiful, wise, very rich, very honored by, respected by everyone. Her husband, everything is just, if we can say, perfect from every aspect, has been tempted by falling in a very strong temptation, where two of the elders of the children of Israel, they were called judges. They lusted for her and they wanted to fall with her in sin. They waited for an opportune time when she was alone in her palace. Her home was the place where they are. So their backyard is where they do the court system when they were living in that time. So her home is the court. So that's why the two judges, they saw her and they lusted and they had this immoral feelings towards her. And they accused her falsely for falling in sin. So they pressured her. They told her, if you are not going to fall in sin with us, we are going to accuse you. And there was that we both saw you with a man and he was very strong and he overcame us. And that's why you will be sentenced to death. But it said two things in this story that is mind-blowing. And they perverted their reason and turned away their eyes so that they would not look to heaven. So the mind was perverted, was corrupt. And they turned away their eyes, so they didn't look to heaven, they didn't look to the sky. Just looking up to the, literally to the sky, and it's not just lift up your heart. No, just looking to the sky. When you can see the sky from everywhere you are. And as you said, it doesn't cost us nothing. It cost us nothing. So that they would not look to heaven nor call to their mind the judgment of God. So the mind is corrupt and the mind is telling the eye, don't even look to heaven, because through heaven you are going to get all the support. You are going to remember who you are. You are going to remember that you are going to give an account for your life. You are going to be exposed. There's a lot of stuff. And after a few Bible verses, it said the opposite. And Susanna, for those who don't know the story, the Spirit of God awakened Daniel, and Daniel came after they sentenced Susanna to death, and they were going to stone her. She was few moments of being dead and killed by the tradition in this time. And she lifted up her heart, and she looked to heaven, and she told God, you know that I'm innocent. You know that I didn't do anything. Can you intervene? If this is your will, please do so quickly. And in the same exact moment that she lifted up her eyes to heaven, so they intentionally did not look to heaven, so as they don't want to remember God and connect with God. And she did the opposite. And in the same moment, Daniel, the Spirit of God alerted Daniel, and he came and he separated the two judges and asked, under which tree did you see Susanna with the other man? And he said a different tree, and the other one said a different tree, because they were both lying. And they got exposed, and they were condemned to death instead of Susanna. But this part of the story, it always inspires me. Wow, they didn't want to look to heaven, so as they don't want to remember God. So why I'm not looking to heaven? And every time I have a chance to look to heaven and lift up my eyes to heaven, I call upon God. I connect with God. I call upon his name. I tell him, I miss you. I tell him, be with me like this guy in the story. So Susanna did, so as if I say this, that just seeing heaven is one of the greatest gifts that we have. That just lifting up our eyes and connecting with God and literally looking to heaven, we are connecting with our Creator, or whom we are created in his image. And trying to block heaven from my mind and my eyes, as if I don't want to, I want to be in my world. I don't want to do your will. I want to live my life on my own terms. And as if I'm disconnecting myself with God, from God. And this is the definition of sin, being separated from God.
Amen. I think we, like also said at the beginning, if we don't want to look to heaven, we don't want to look to the spiritual, we deny ourselves. God is not there to work against us, but he's there. He's there for us. So it is very powerful. It's a very powerful remembrance to remember that this is the way, and that sin is, it's not giving us the joy we want and the joy we seek, because what we actually seek is God. What we actually seek is peace, is love, and sin is only separating us from that. It is not bringing us where we want, to go. So I totally agree and support this. Yes.
The modern distractions that we are all in, how can this, or do you think that this modern distraction is contributing for feeling emptiness and this void that we are going through?
I don't think directly, because again, our default state is emptiness. God created us like that. So wherever we are, in which time we live, we have that emptiness. It's not, I don't believe that 50 years ago, before the internet, before the modern world, that there's no feeling of emptiness and everybody was happy. Again, it's in our nature. It's not because the environment of technology we have or we don't have, which brings us further away or closer to God. So the modern world and technology, I believe, is yes, it can distract us. It can very easily separate us from God. Let us not focus on the heaven but on earth, like on our screen, like the cross example. Where are you continuously looking at? On the other hand, it can also bring us closer to God. Helps us. It tells us not that it is God, but we can hear Him through modern technology. It's very accessible in our home. If we cannot make it to church or not have to wait to church, we can hear sermons. We can see pictures of saints, for example. It is how we architecture our environment to help us or to distract us. So it is really how we use it, and modern world and technology is not bad in itself. It is really how we use it. And we must remember that it's not going to fill the void. Technology or a certain device or whatever is not filling the spiritual emptiness we are going to have. Eventually, I think it facilitates us to or bring us closer to God or separate us even more.
So discernment in how we deal with the technology and the stuff.
Yes.
I was watching one of your reels that was the question about how can Christ is praying to God the Father, and the amount of people. Well, it's inspiring because we hear where the technology and the reels and the shorts or whatever is also helping people to connect and answering some questions. So towards the end, what will be the message of hope that you want to share with the youth, with the younger generation, and with everyone, with every human being? Because in this time of hopelessness,
yes,
everything around us, there is no hope. There is no hope. It's becoming even the Generation Z are called the most tempted generation with hopelessness.
Yes.
So in towards the end, what would be the message of hope that you will tell someone who's lost, who doesn't know what to do? What are the steps that they need to take?
I like the word you use, the good news, the good hope. That's actually also what the word of the Bible means. The gospel means it's the good news. And the good news is this, that the answer and the solution is already there, is in you. We are feeling hope and depressed and empty, searching for a relationship, searching for a certain job, searching for a certain car or whatever. And we are depressed because we don't have it. I feel empty. I don't have it. I need to have it. And I won't feel happy till I have it. But the good news is that the solution is already there. It's in our hearts. So you don't have to go to get it. You don't have to wait till somebody says sorry or somebody knocks at your door. The answer to your void and emptiness, it's already there. Again, the feeling of void, emptiness, is a feeling. And feelings come from the spirit, not from the body, not from material possessions. It comes from the spirit. And it is easy, cheap, accessible. You just have to stand up and pray. Lift up your heart. Say to God, if you are there, show yourself to me. I want to build a relationship with you. Give me your Holy Spirit, the spirit of love, the spirit of peace, the spirit of comfort, to live up to the image you have created me, to glorify your name. That is one part. And then the other part I would say is this, that the reason we are feeling empty and void is because, again, we are heading in a direction which don't work. And the direction is mostly selfish. We work, we have relationship, we eat, we do everything for our own self. And that formula doesn't work. And that's why you are empty. We need to change directions. If this doesn't work, if this life self continuously thinking about what makes me happy, what makes me feel enjoyed, what makes me feel satisfied, doesn't work, then we need to change it. And I would suggest the following, to change it in the direction, right? Do you know what? I'm not going to look about what makes me happy, what makes the other happy. I'm not going to look about how can I sleep more, but how can I pray more. I'm not going to think about how can I get the rights and the justice from other people. No, how can I give justice? How can I show mercy? How can I say sorry? How can I build up the relationship again? So it is, may not feel very natural, but that's the thing. Christ learned us that the way to salvation, the way to heaven, and to reconcile with heaven, I think, is sacrifice. He came us to show that the sacrificial life, the selflessness life, that is the way. And probably we feel void because we are too much focused on ourselves and less focused on God and the relationship with others. So yes, this may feel uncomfortable, but it is the way. It is the way.
So searching for God inside of you, not living a selfish life, just satisfying my needs and my wants and what I want in life, and seeking God and lifting up our hearts and telling God, please show me yourself. It it's always reminding me with Saint Augustine, who said, "I have searched for you in everything." He have done all the bad stuff. He wrote his confession in his book, Saint Augustine Confessions, a very famous historical book, and he disclosed everything he have done. And he said, in towards the end, "I have searched for you everywhere, in friends, in lust, in sexual immorality, in stealing, in doing many things, and I didn't find you in any of those things. But I, in the end, I found you in my inside of me, who gave me the true fulfillment and the true satisfaction and the true feeling of purpose and meaning in life." We are very thankful, Deacon Peter, with you having this, dedicating this time for us, and we are very thankful for you visiting the U.S. And we can't wait to see you again, or you invite us, invite everyone
to Feel free, yes, yes. I hope the whole diocese of LA comes, because, thank you for the blessing to receive, to be here and to have a really blessed time here in LA. And I'm asking for your prayers to guide me. Like we talked about, the prayers are very effective. I really believe that we work and we do good things through prayers. So thank you, Father, for also the lessons and the stories. I think it's very beautiful to hear and to remember and to practice eventually. Yeah, so thank you. Thank you, Father.
It's our blessing, and we thank you for next time. Promise that when you come, we'll have another meeting, another podcast with another topic.
We know the way now, so I'm very much looking forward. God willing, God willing.
Thank you so much. And towards the end, I want to thank everyone for joining us, and please, your prayers for this ministry. Just a reminder that we have an anonymous link in the bio on the Instagram, Be Reconciled. On Instagram, in the biography, there is an anonymous link. Any questions, and we take the questions personally. I personally, it comes to my personal email, and we answered a couple of answered maybe five or six of the questions last episode, and the next episode also will have more answers. Looking forward to your answers in any direction, whether you reconcile with yourself or reconcile with God or reconcile with others, as Saint Ephraim the Syrian said, reconcile with yourself, heaven and earth will be reconciled for you. Please pray for me, and wish you all the best. Thank you.